From a letter dated January 23rd, the 21st century. She was walking home alone. She had just left her mother's friend's house after babysitting. She rode a bus back home. There weren't any cell phones back in those days. No way to call for help if you sensed any danger. No. No way to hold the phone up to your ear to deter anyone watching or following you. Parents didn't typically have two cars to drive kids to and fro like they do nowadays. No. Children often had to walk home alone at night, always alone. Unless, of course, they were with friends. Angela wasn't with friends that night. She never was after babysitting for her mother's best friend. He, yes he, that monster. He had been watching her for some time, many months in fact. The monster he was, that monster he became. Yes, he knew Angela's routine. You see, after a few months, he had her figured out. She always came home a half hour after the 10:30 train. Once a month, of course, after babysitting. Yes, the third weekend every month. The same time, the same way he watched. He waited. He observed. And you see, that next train was always hours later in the night, late enough to not notice the evil that he would do. Yes, he had been watching her for months and months. He used to watch her bedroom window from his. From across the street from where she lived, he did too. Yes, he used to watch from his bedroom. He could see her when she brushed her hair through her bedroom window. He always waited for the final act of the evening. He always saw her fingers pull down the curtains at bedtime, a little tug through the circle, a little shadow cut in half in the moonlight, while she stood there in her pink pajamas. Yes. Every night he watched her nail beside her bed to pray. He said there was never a night that she forgot to give thanks to the Lord for the life that he would take away. That was the confession he gave. And so he knew her routine. Every Saturday night, on that third weekend of the month after babysitting, she caught the same bus back home, always at the same time, always at the same bus stop, just off in the dark distance, away from the factory, the railroad tracks, across the street from her house. After watching her grow up in the neighborhood for over a decade. He said he eventually lost control, especially after his wife left him. Things had changed for him. That lonely spot in the bed beside, the empty floorboards without her shadows, the same window where he watched his future victim, the wife of that reflection, gone. It was all gone. Yes. And so of the victim after she hit puberty, he said, the sight of her conjured up irresistible fantasies in his mind, and he wanted to act upon them. In his confession, he said those fantasies overwhelmed him. Yes. After each of his visits to the dirty movie theater downtown on Franklin, across from the Central Park, he said those dirty sights on the screen gave him bad ideas about the girl that was going to be his victim. The girls in those dirty movies were just as young as her, he said. Angela, the poor dear. For a time, he could keep those fantasies in check. For a time, he could stop himself from doing the wrong thing. But his addiction to those dirty films kept his conscience from ever getting clean. He couldn't resist the temptation when she started taking a shortcut home to save time. You see, that was when he lost control. That's what he said to me in his confession. That was when he lost control. The opportunity was too irresistible to him. The temptation. The devil on the shoulder. The ideas that come from seeds planted from the dark side. It all had come into the light now, those seeds from the dark side. You see, it was dark in that part of the road. Just before the railroad tracks. There were no street lights, no nearby houses to the left or to the right. The old factory was abandoned, with broken windows and stagnant shadows and utter silence. No one would hear a thing if he jumped out of the shadows and grabbed her from behind. You see, that evening, he first saw her after he stumbled out of the bar next to her three-decker. She stood on the corner with a bunch of friends. They were sharing a cigarette before she went inside her house. For many weeks, he had started to get to know her mother. He had to get closer. So he figured out her routine, too. He'd often offer to help her mother carried the groceries from her car up to the stairs after he left the bar during happy hour. The drinks gave him courage, he said. Plenty of courage. In fact, he said he spent all of the night at the bar next to her apartment before the terrible tragedy took place. He said the happy hour wine gave him the gall to do it. That the wine of fornication helped him . He left as the sound of the 10:30 train approached, well past happy hour. He listened. Yes, the sound of her footsteps, different than before. The train whistle in the distance fading away. That sound of heavy rain. He stood by the railroad tracks in a dark corner at the darkest part of the factory. And he waited. And he waited. Oh, God, the poor dear. Oh, I could only imagine when I heard the confession. Poor dear. She was looking forward to finishing high school and attending college. And marrying her boyfriend someday, and having children of her own. And she loved her mother so dearly, and her mother loved her. Yes, such are the things our worst enemy seeks to take from us, such things of love and compassion and hope. And dreams. Such are the things our worst enemy seeks to take from us. Such are the things made of heaven, the best things in life, those things that are free, like I said, love and compassion, hopes and dreams. It is sad, really. Very tragic, this confession. He watched and waited along the dark corner near the railroad tracks until she took the final shortcut in that pouring rain. She was unable to scream when he lassoed her throat with a wire and choked her from behind. She never had a chance to fight back. She couldn't even catch her breath, the poor dear. Not ever again. Never again, let alone never again a scream. An utter of love, appreciation, apology. Of greeting or farewell. Never again a mutter from her. The poor young dear, unable to live out the rest of her life, her hopes, her dreams, never again able to see her mother again, or her friends, never a glimpse of the future into the present, or into the past, no future for her. Ever again, none, not from the corners of this world. And so, the confessor got away with murder. They never caught him. And for a time, he had no remorse, he said to me. For a time, no remorse. No. No remorse, not until, of course, A change of mind came upon his consciousness. While he lay on his deathbed, and I was asked to visit him where he lay dying of a very brutal cancer. The confessor said she had reminded him of his wife back when she was young, before she had left him for another man. Another man, because she said he was too cruel to love a woman. He was too cruel. It was all too tragic, I must say. All too hard to forget this confession. The poor dear. I still see the pictures, the photographs, the unsolved case of his confession. She was so innocent. The poor dear. The tale of that girl's death still haunts me. Yes, it still haunts me to this day. The poor dear. Oh, God. The poor dear. The poor dear. Oh, God. The poor dear. The poor dear. God.